The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Martha Potter from North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State Magazine. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting this podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The theme of the October issue of Our State Magazine is Mountain Masterpieces and features articles about the many facets of North Carolina's beautiful mountains. The cover of the magazine features the Rich Mountain Fire Tower, which was built in 1932 and restored and opened to the public in 2018. Now visitors can climb this 46-foot-tall tower to look out over Pisgah National Forest. And the colors, of course, are from the fall, and they're just magnificent, rich reds and golds and yellows and even some greens, some browns. Looking out, probably a drone photograph looking at the fire tower that's open to the public and looking out over the horizon to the perhaps a sunrise or a sunset with beautiful colors. You see why they call it the Blue Ridge Mountains, because of the sort of the fog and the haze over the mountains that turns it sort of blue. And in the background along the horizon, you see deep pinks and even some red and some yellow going up to a blue sky. So that's certainly a beautiful thing. Next in our lineup here is the welcome article by the editor, Elizabeth Hudson, and the article is entitled Going Up. The dorm where I lived my freshman year at Appalachian State University rose up from one of the highest spots on campus, and from my seventh floor room, I had a perfect view of the football stadium where, on game days, we'd race to our seats in the upper tier that towered above the field, the height up there almost dizzying. Sitting was never an option. Instead, we stood the entire game, our feet thundering against the bleachers in rhythm with the marching band, our voices rising with the crowd, feeling on top of the world as we watched a sea of motion and sound churning below us, a roaring basin of energy that carried us higher with every cheer. On crisp fall evenings, before winter's heavy hand blanketed the town in snow, my friends and I would cram into someone's car chasing the sky. We'd wind our way to the summit of Howard's Knob, 1,000 feet above the river of headlights on US 421 and the pulse of campus life on King Street. I'd never been so high up on a mountain before. At my home in Randolph County, I'd roamed and hiked the Uwaris and the Burkheads, ancient and worn down over millennia, gently rolling ridges compared to this. On Howard's Knob, I could feel the elevation in my bones, the air thinner, filtered through layers of forest, the wind pushing clouds across the sky, the horizon endless. What we did up there as college students, I don't really recall, or won't confess in print, but what I do remember that as the sky turned violet and the sun dipped below a mountain, our laughter and conversations gave way to profound silliness, to a state of serenity that came with our distance from the landscape below. On that mountaintop, we found peace above the valley, and it was in those moments that I felt something far greater than myself, a deep-seated wonder that has stayed with me ever since. I've experienced that same sense of awe all across western North Carolina, driving the Lynn Cove Viaduct, where the road seems to hang in midair, a bridge between earth and sky. At Pilot Mountain, where I've steadied myself against the sheer rock face and stood transfixed and exhilarated as broad-winged hawks traced arcs above. At Wiseman's View, where the silhouettes of Hawksbill and Table Rock rise from the depths of Glenville Gorge. I know I'm not alone in feeling this way. Not long ago, when I was hiking the aptly named Exclamation Point Trail at Chimney Rock State Park, I heard the same reverence echoing in the mountain in the voices of others. Standing in the rock overhang called the Opera Box, a natural amphitheater overlooking the vast Hickory Nut Gorge, a group was so moved by the beauty surrounding us that they began to sing, a spontaneous chorus, as if the very landscape had drawn the song from their hearts. The moment was so unexpected that I paused to listen, quietly breathless, grateful for these grand and glorious places where the soul is free to soar. Next up, we'll go on a descriptive journey through this month's photo essay entitled On the Edge. In the West, North Carolina's border dances across the mountains as it traces four different states. Life here can be more remote, but good neighbors are never far away. And it's going to go through some of these communities or sites to see each one. Pardon me. Clingman's Dome in Swain County. I'll describe the pictures first. The left picture, it says, built in 1959, the observation tower at Clingman's Dome reached via a 375-foot spiral ramp, offers views into Tennessee, Virginia, Kentucky, Georgia, South Carolina, and Alabama. And the picture is, of course, going up to this observation tower with it. It sort of almost looks like a spaceship with a circular shelter, if you will, rising up from a center podium, almost like a mushroom, and then, you know, areas for folks to walk around the outside and to see, and little descriptive points to show what they're seeing or what states they're overlooking. A little bit more about Clingman's Dome. Long before the state lines divided the land, the Cherokee prayed for guidance on behalf of their community at the mountain they called Coowahee, today commonly known as Clingman's Dome. Straddling what is now the North Carolina-Tennessee border, the 6,643-foot summit is the third highest mountain east of the Mississippi and the highest point on the Appalachian Trail. On a clear day, the 360-degree view from the observation tower stretches for 100 miles with glimpses into six neighboring states. American settlers call the mountain Smoky Dome because it's often covered in clouds. But even on a quote, smoky day, breathtaking views through the mist or above the clouds await those who make the climb. And the in the picture, overlooking some of the mountains, you certainly see the mist and the clouds that have settled into the craggy peaks of the mountains. That's in Swain County. Newfound Gap, also in Swain County. Drivers traveling up mountain on U.S. Route 441 from Gatlinburg, Tennessee, ascend past scenic overlooks through pine oak woodlands and into North Carolina's fragrant spruce fir forest at Newfound Gap. At 5,046 feet in elevation, this is the highest point on the road, yet the lowest drivable pass across the Great Smoky Mountains. Where North Carolina-Tennessee line crosses in the parking area, visitors stand in duality, two states at once, high and low, here and there. And there's a little, the picture of a, looks like probably an elk, a buck with a great horn, set of antlers. And then there's a little inset of a map that says, "Welcome to North Carolina. Travelers entering the state from Tennessee at Newfound Gap might spot an elk." Well, I was right about that, an elk. "While those driving past Cumberland Knob and on the Blue Ridge Parkway are sure to find spectacular fall foliage." And so there's like a bridge with stone abutments on either end on the other page. And this is about Cumberland Knob. This is in Allegheny and Surrey counties. Cumberland Knob Recreation Area is the first North Carolina stop on the Blue Ridge Parkway for southbound travelers from Virginia. In 1935, President Franklin D. Roosevelt's Civilian Conservation Corps began construction on the nation's first and longest rural parkway near Cumberland Knob. 2 years later, this recreation area with hiking trails, picnic tables in a grassy field perfect for family games was the first on the road to open. and there are a couple of cars crossing this bridge, and just you see the fall foliage, much of which has started to fall in this particular picture. A little bit more about the Rich Mountain Fire Tower, which is in Madison County. Another picture here, similar to the one I described on the cover, with golden and red and green leaves overlooking into, the misty mountains in the distance. After emerging from a 2.5-mile walk through the woods, hikers raise their gazes to the 46-foot-tall Rich Mountain Fire Tower, silhouetted against the sky. From 1932 to the 1990s, rangers watched for fires from this historic steel tower until the widespread use of planes made fire detection more efficient. Without a caretaker, the structure fell into disrepair. In 2018, the Appalachian Trail Conservancy in North Carolina and Tennessee partnered with the U.S. Forest Service and other conservation agencies to restore the tower, which straddles the state line at Pisgah National Forest. After the necessary repairs, including a new roof, lightning rods, floors, and stairs, visitors can now climb the tower for panoramic views of Mount Mitchell, Tennessee's Bluff Mountain, and nearby Hot Springs. Those who don't want to hike to the Rich Mountain Fire Tower can drive up a winding gravel road just off U.S. Highway 25/70, just under 3 miles from Hot Springs. And the opposite picture shows looking down the steps of the fire tower that you would use to access that. And again, you have the fall foliage, which is really pretty. All right, next is the Appalachian Trail, which covers Graham, Swain, Haywood, Madison, Yancey, Mitchell, and Avery counties. The majority of hikers along the 2,190-mile Appalachian Trail tackle just a small section, starting off from hiker-friendly towns like Hot Springs. And we have a picture of a hiker. There's a beautiful old rough wooden fence, and in the background we see some rolling hills and the upper elevations in the far background of this picture. And again, it's in fall foliage, and we have a hiker with his camera walking down a path on the trail. Where the Appalachian Trail weaves between North Carolina and Tennessee for 220 miles, hikers commune with nature as they pass through several types of forest and stand atop 6 of the 10 highest mountains on the trail. Fall foliage comes early to the chilly high elevations, where evergreen spruce trees contrast with the red, yellow, and gold leaves of oaks, birches, and sassafrases. As cool temperatures descend through the mountains, colors burst from sourwoods and hickories, making this trail one of the best in the state to see an extended fall season. Lake Chattoogee in Clay County. Divided almost evenly between the mountains of Clay County in North Carolina and Towns County in Georgia, Lake Chattoogee is a recreational playground with shaded hiking trails and swimming coves tucked along the ragged shoreline. The stunning sunsets and blue sky reflections in the 7,200-acre lake epitomize its Cherokee name, which means beautiful. Created in the 1940s by the Tennessee Valley Authority for flood control and utility power, the lake draws anglers for tournaments and pier fishing, where they seek the best catches of more than 30 types of fish, including trout, bass, crappie, and sunfish. Within 128 miles of shoreline, plus that of its islands, Lake Chattoogee is among the largest bodies of water in the Great Smoky Mountains. Farther east, Upper Whitewater Falls cascades toward South Carolina. And in this on this page, we have a picture of some of the islands in this lake that in Clay County, and the water itself is very clear, and of course it's got fall foliage on the trees on the different islands of this lake. And on the opposite page, we have the Whitewater Falls in Jackson County, spilling down across rocky faces from the mountaintops, and of course still with fall foliage, and of course the water then falling into a reservoir at the bottom. So Whitewater Falls in Jackson County. In Nantahala National Forest, the highest waterfall east of the Rockies cascades in ribbons over stair-step boulders as it plunges 411 feet. The roar of the water and the awe-inspiring view from the main path only intensify for those who walk down 154 sturdy wooden steps to the lower platform. There, a top-to-bottom image of Upper Whitewater Falls is occasionally transected by rainbows as sunshine hits the rising mist. Without regard for defined state lines, the Whitewater River flows into South Carolina, where it drops over the 400-foot-tall Lower Whitewater Falls and continues into Lake Jocassee. This is entitled A Warm Welcome, Polk, Haywood, Madison, and Surrey Counties. Kathy West describes a welcome center as the front porch of North Carolina, where travel counselors greet visitors with Southern hospitality and provide travel information about all 100 counties. At the center that West manages, on I-26 at the South Carolina border, tourists learn about North Carolina artisans as they kick back in walnut rocking chairs so comfortable that they often ask to take them home. Families pose for photos with a spectacular quilted map of North Carolina, which includes 3D enhancements like a tiny woven basket created by Cherokee artist Juanita Wolf. North Carolina's 9 welcome centers, including 4 in the mountains, have hosted more than 350 million visitors, encouraging each traveler to come in and stay a while. And there's actually a picture of this 3D quilted map of North Carolina. The 3D embellishments attached to the quilt at the I-26 East Welcome Center were made by artists who live in those locations and incorporated into the shape of North Carolina by Durham quilter Suzanne Yowell. And some of the embellishments, if you will, are there's a small airplane, and there's some boats on the water part of our coastal region. And then there's in the Piedmont, there's some, looks like there, oh, where I guess Fort Liberty would be, there's a little Jeep, and there's little churches, there's a some pottery that is attached to that. There's some small animals, and looks like some cotton, and a chair. I guess that represents maybe perhaps Lexington, and then a weaver's loom. And I see the basket that's referred to in the article, and musical notes. There's all sorts of things. A little train along there. Anyway, this is quite fascinating to see all the different. It looks like a replica of the Wright brothers. So, New River Outfitters in Ashe County. The New River, ironically, the oldest river in North America, flows past the oldest operating store in Ashe County before heading north into Virginia. When the 1923 General Store was threatened by larger chains in the 70s, the owners decided to start renting out canoes. The result is New River Outfitters, now a fifth-generation family business offering canoe, kayak, and tubing trips from a nostalgic country store. Visitors can purchase vintage candy, an icy glass bottle RC Cola, or a moon pie, and rest at picnic tables on the riverbank as they watch the water peacefully pass by. And they have a picture of this general store and add the New River Outfitters. And paddling and floating trips with New River Outfitters pass through New River State Park and end at the 1923 General Store. And they have a picture of the New River under a bridge, and again with some fall foliage, and the river looks very peaceful and calm right now. Moving along here, we have Red Dog Bar Bistro in Allegheny County. When neighbors ask Matt and Julie Malunick and Gail Winston to convert an empty building near the Virginia border into a restaurant, the owners of the nearby Riverhouse Inn and restaurant didn't hesitate. They named the resulting Red Dog Bar Bistro after a neighborhood pool hall and hot dog joint that had once occupied the space. Now diners enjoy beef and lamb from the farm across the street, an Appalachian twist on egg rolls, and beers custom brewed by Laconia Ale Works in Sparta. The Red Dog Bar Bistro opened in Piney Creek in 2019, later adding a West Jefferson location. Diners at Creekside Market and Grill find classic breakfast and lunch options, which we'll talk about Creekside Market and Grill in just a second. But some of the photos here, it looks like there's there's burgers and fries, and looks like there's hash browns and eggs on top of looks like that's breakfast with sausage patty and eggs on top of biscuits and gravy. Creekside Market and Grill in Transylvania County, 3 miles from the South Carolina line, so we're on the other end of the state. Customers at Creekside Market and Grill enjoy gem mining, art from both states, a rope swing over the Little River, and delicious food. Repeat customers and tourists leaving nearby DuPont State Recreational Forest stop by for Southern-style family recipes prepared by Wendy Gaughy, a self-described grit, or girl raised in the South, and her dedicated staff. After purchasing the business in 2016, Gaughy maintained many of its traditions, including community music gatherings on the porch. And we have a little picture of that that little restaurant, Creekside Market and Grill, with a couple of folks, a little elderly lady and maybe her grandson, going in to get a bite to eat. Charahala Skyway in Graham County. The mile-high Charahala Skyway rises above the clouds. Temperatures can drop as much as 20 degrees during the first 11 miles on the North Carolina side, as the road climbs 2,730 feet from Santila Gap to Santila Overlook. Along the way, the winding drive reveals breathtaking mountain vistas, shimmering rock-face waterfalls, and easy hiking paths. This National Scenic Byway, named for its route through the Cherokee and Nantahala National Forest, curves past red and yellow mountain ash foliage before descending into Tennessee. What it does not pass is any visible sign of civilization. So be sure to fill your gas tank before heading out. Motorcyclists and sports car enthusiasts travel from all over the world to drive the Charahala Skyway and the challenging Tail of the Dragon nearby, which boasts 318 bends and switchbacks in just 11 miles. The Charahala Skyway winds for 43 scenic miles through North Carolina and Tennessee. And you can see that it's a busy highway there. And, of course, all the fall colors with all the beautiful reds, golds, greens, and darker color oranges of the mountains with the mountains, higher elevations in the background. Nautilee River Valley Vineyards in Cherokee County. After traveling the world as an Air Force and Delta pilot, Steve Thompson returned to the rolling pastures of his 93-acre family farm in Murphy, where his ancestors settled in 1820. In 2008, he and his wife Karen opened Nautilee River Valley Vineyards, where they bond with customers over travel experiences and a love of wine. From the hilltop tasting room, guests admire the view into North Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee, and in the fall, watch migrating sandhill cranes fly overhead. On land that has been in their family for generations, Steve and Karen Thompson grow Chardonnay, Cabernet, Franc, Riesling, Petit Verdot, and several hybrid grape varieties. And we have a drone shot of the vineyards with perhaps rose bushes as well adorning the rose. And they also raise cattle as well. So, all right, that brings to a close the photo essay for this month. We'll turn to a shorter article here called Discovering Appalachia. A city girl visited the remote corners of Western North Carolina and uncovered a lifestyle and flavors that decades later she's never forgotten. And there's a picture here of burgoo, an Appalachian dish akin to Brunswick stew. It's traditionally made with game meat. This one has game meats like venison and squirrel. In Western North Carolina in 1974, there was a rare tornado that devastated the area around Murphy and Andrews. My youth group at Irving Park United Methodist Church in Greensboro was assigned to visit the elderly to offer words of hope and deliver meals. As we approached the tornado's path, trees were lying on the ground like children's pickup sticks as far as the eye could see. We visited one woman who, to my 14-year-old eyes, looked like she was 120. She couldn't have been more than 5 feet tall, and her sweet face reminded me of the dried apple dolls that my mom used to make. Her white hair was pulled into a bun at the nape of her neck. She wore a floral cotton dress under a stained burlap apron. Her kitchen was decorated with a string of dried apple slices and rows of canned vegetables from her garden. Her house was warm from the oven and smelled of cinnamon and apples. My peers and I had trekked through the thick woods to get to her small cabin. I remember thinking, where does she go for groceries? Who does she call if she needs help? She was so grateful for her visit. She served us fresh bread and homemade apple butter, and even though my mom had taught me to always accept what was offered, I just couldn't bring myself to drink the warm buttermilk that she had prepared. After our youth leader said a prayer, we all said our goodbyes. I was the last one to leave, and my eyes started to water. The woman held my face in her hands and said, I'm so glad you came to see me. Come back when you can. I thanked her for sharing her stories and told her that her bread was the best I had ever eaten. And now another quick one from the Roads and Routes section. The Mountains Are Calling. A year after its centennial, the oldest hiking and trail maintenance club in the Southeast continues to encourage North Carolinians to experience the natural beauty of the Appalachians. Former Carolina Mountain Club president Tom Weaver has a hard time picking a favorite experience from his 10 years as a member. Maybe it was being a president during the organization's centennial celebration in 2023, or completing one of the 34 bridges that he's designed and helped build on the 440 miles of trails that the club maintains in western North Carolina. Maybe it's training the next generation of the all-volunteer organization, which boasts 1,200 members. Or perhaps it's going on yet another breathtaking hike. The Carolina Mountain Club gets people out in nature, either on a trail or recognizing the effort it takes to build and maintain a trail so that future generations can enjoy what we're enjoying today, Weaver says. Whether with a hazel hoe or a hiking stick, he invites everyone to hit the trails. Well, that sound says we've run out of time for today's episode on Our State Magazine. I hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Martha Potter, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long, till next time.